As you all know, today is Commitment Sunday. It's the day when we dedicate our pledges and ourselves for the coming year. And in practical advice, I invite you to place your pledge cards in the offering plate when it comes by later. When you read a story like today's gospel, you can see there really is something about this God that we worship together. There's something that tends toward excess and exuberance and extravagance. And that's what I'd like to focus upon with you this morning, as we dedicate our pledges and ourselves for the coming year. At the beginning of this morning's lesson, Jesus withdraws from the crowd that is gathering in around him. He withdraws to a deserted place. We need to remember, I think, that Jesus began his ministry in the desert. And now, in the prime time of his ministry, Jesus returns to the desert. But this time, he's not alone. There is a huge crowd that's following him into the wilderness. Well, Jesus probably went out there to get a breather, to have a little vacation from all those hurting people who were pressing in on him. But that's not what he got. The desert as he found it is anything but deserted. The crowd is pressing in. They're coming close. He gets no rest. So Jesus did what Jesus always does. He healed them because he had compassion. Well, the hour begins to grow late, and the disciples advise Jesus. They say, send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But when Jesus urges the disciples to give them something to eat, you can only imagine what they must have replied. I mean, I can hear them now. Where in the world do you expect us to get enough to feed all these people, Jesus? There must be 5,000 of them out there. Well, they only have a couple of fish and a few loaves. But Jesus blesses what they have. And it is enough. Everyone eats and everyone is filled. And even more than that, they have 12 baskets of food left over. Food just overflows everywhere. There is a movement in this story, this miraculous story. It's a movement from scarcity, we have nothing here, to abundance, and all ate and were filled. Behind the story of Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000 is a question. What sort of world do we have? Are we forlorn? Are we trapped in a desert of scarce commodities and declining resources and dwindling goods? Or do we live in a lush garden, a place where there is enough for all to eat and be filled? A great deal really hinges on how we answer that question. The commodity in shortest supply in this story, at least, is imagination. Faith that Jesus is somehow able to provide for the masses gathered. That God does not mean for any to be sent away empty. We need to see through the eyes of faith that through Jesus, God has given us what we need, so that we can give the world what the world needs. Take this miracle as a kind of parable about Jesus. Although they were in the desert, the desert burst into bloom once Jesus got there. There was healing for the hurting and food for the hungry. The disciples are us. We look at the vast needs of the world around us and we despair. Jesus, send them away, we plead. Jesus, work some kind of miracle and feed them, we plead. Well, Jesus works a miracle, all right. He asks us, what do you have? Oh, we don't have much. We just have a couple of fish in our basket and a few loaves. But he urges us to take what we have and recklessly share it. Give it away, throw it away on the multitudes. And it is enough. I think we come into this world for some reason with this sense of scarcity. We've got the feeling that we've got to grab and hoard and accumulate and pile up things. I mean, all of you who may have had children or been around children, think of the first thing a little child learns. It's mine and you can't have it. I was watching a program on the Animal Planet Network. That's Sam, my golden retriever's favorite channel. He really watches it all the time. But it was a show about dogs, which is what he likes best. And I heard a veterinarian say that one reason our dogs gobble down their food so quickly is that for the first few million years when dogs lived in the wild, food was a rarity. And when a kill was made, all the dogs had to gather around the carcass and wolf down the meat. It was important to eat fast, lest another dog get all the food. So a million years later, my dogs are still gobbling down their food. Even though they have no competition and they have all the time in the world to eat. It's like the attitude we see all around us in this modern society. Hold on tight to what we have. If I give to you, I'm diminished somehow. But that's not the way we approach life, is it? I found that love is a renewable resource. The more you give away, the more you get. Someone said, in giving, you receive. I heard someone else from another church at another time say much the same about giving to the church. When I asked this person to say why he was one of our congregation's biggest givers, he said, well, I found that the more I give, the more I get. And at first that statement bothered me. Did he mean to say that if you give money to the church, you'll somehow become richer and get more money back? He was quick to dispel that, and he said that his giving was never as much as he could or even should give. But that in giving away some of his money for God's work, he had received great joy. He'd received this deep sense of satisfaction at being a part of God's work. A man by the name of Tom Long tells a story about two people that it took place back in the 1960s. And it's about a student who was home for the holidays. And he was talking with his father about some of the various problems confronted in society and especially by the church today. They looked around at the poverty and the homelessness and the other social ills. And as they talked, they were walking down the street, and this being a time before cell phones, they were headed towards a payphone to call for a ride home. And as fate would have it, on their way, they were met by a homeless man who asked them, "Can you spare any change?" Well, the father reached down into his pocket, and he pulled out a handful of change, and he held it out to the man. And he said, "Here, take what you need." The homeless man smiled. He beamed. And he held out his hands and he took all the change. And they parted. Well, heading down the street, the young man and his father realized that they'd given away all of their change. And they needed a quarter to make a telephone call. So turning to him, they called out to the homeless man. They said, "We forgot that we needed to make a phone call. Can you give us back one of our quarters?" And the homeless man smiled, and he reached into his pocket and he pulled out all the change and he said, "Here, take all you need." Imagine that sense of abundance and grace from a man who on the face of it had so little. He was a man who experienced what he had as abundance rather than scarcity. Long says that that's a parable of us preachers on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, we stand up here and we face a congregation full of spiritual beggars. We hold out what we have of the gospel to them and we say, "Here, take all that you need." When we are at our very best, we try to trust in this lesson that Jesus taught. We need to fight our tendency toward an ethic of scarcity, where goods have to be accumulated and hoarded and protected and preserved. God has created a world of abundance and richness. And in Jesus, God meets us with an overflowing love and an abundance of grace. God beckons us to live in this world. We come into the world with a sense of scarcity, holding on tight. But by the grace of God, we can learn another way. We can see that all that we have and all that we are is but a gift of an incredibly generous God. A God who asks of us only that we respond to our neighbors with the same gracious and generous spirit. So we come to the close of our worship. It's a time when we go out there, out into the world. But before you go, here is the love of God. Take all you need. Amen.